We're back with more badass liberal talk. Bart Cop Radio.
You will be punished for all your evil deeds. You will suffer.
Slept on this hazardous enterprise. Hit from the back from a long range attack in disguise. Weeks of captivity became months. Those who were holding it down now hold a pulse. Do we delay the
call? Okay, I guess it's time to talk about some torture. Everybody has an opinion on torture, and apparently I'm the evil guy, which is hard to figure. But hey, we ain't going to know until we get into it, so let's get into it. Oh, I hope this is less than an hour, because nobody wants to spend an hour on torture. That would be torture. First one is Luke. As we seem to have abandoned the idea that torture is always wrong and incompatible with a free society, and we don't seem to be worried about opening the door to an insidious practice, consider. I've got a couple of quotes with which I may agree and I may not. Quote number one, it is very unlikely that torture can succeed in such an instance, for it is a cardinal assumption of this scenario that the prisoner is one of two or three people who know where the bomb is and when it will go off. He knows, therefore, exactly how long he has to hold out. Well, no, I think that's goofiness, but let me finish. Being dedicated, he will mislead his interrogators until it's too late, or until his colleagues have changed their plan. On one hand, the ticking bomb argument can be used to justify the severest torture, but on the other hand, precisely in such a case, torture is useless. I think that's crazy. Perhaps you know who G. Gordon Liddy is. G. Gordon Liddy, they say, can extend his hand and with his other hand light a Bic lighter and hold it under the first hand. And they say if you're in the room, you can smell the flesh burning. You can hear the skin crackling as it burns. And the smell of the stench of the burning flesh is atrocious. And Liddy stands there and smiles and looks at you while his hand is cooking over an open flame. If that's true, and I believe it probably is to some degree, I would suggest that Liddy is one of a extremely small percentage, 1% of 1% of 1% of people who can do that. I think the whole rest of the world, you put a flame under their ass, and they're going to say whatever it takes to stop the torture. It's hard to disagree with that. I don't understand. Second quote. But the so-called ticking time bomb rationale for torture is patently fallacious. Suppose we had captured Osama bin Laden on 9-10 and immediately gone to work on him. It wouldn't take long for Osama's pals to notice that he failed to show up at the terror cave. They'd assume that we had him and were torturing him. They assume he'd tell us everything he knew, so they'd delay 9-11 to 10-11 or 11-12 or 9-11-02 or go to plan B or develop a plan C. Well, you just assume that they would change all their plans if Osama didn't show up. Osama wasn't anywhere near New York on September 11th. Why would his absence? I mean, which you can do almost any sentence in the world, you can find a way to say, well, what if, and then start changing words in the sentence. But the idea that the terror attacks would stop if X and Y happened, well, maybe they would, but maybe they wouldn't. Are you going to bet the 3,000 lives in the World Trade Centers that you're right? It's kind of a heavy gamble to take 3,000 lives that belong to somebody else. There's several lot of scenarios here. We talked about if you could prevent Osama from blowing up New York, yeah, that's one scenario. We talked about what if your child was kidnapped? What if there was some asshole sitting in your living room, you tied him to a chair, and this asshole saying, yeah, we kidnapped your 5-year-old daughter, and she's a mile away from here. I'm not going to tell you where she is, but my gang is first going to sexually torture her, and then we're going to kill her. And I'm not going to tell you where she is, ha, 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 and they're going to do this in the next hour. But you, being the ultra-leftist liberal, have decided that torture is wrong, so you're going to let your 5-year-old daughter be raped and murdered by the gang because torture is wrong. I don't understand that. I'm not saying torture is right. I'm saying they're going to murder your little girl in an hour. And you're standing there on your high horse, your torture is wrong horse, and you got a dead daughter. Gee, I'm glad you're not my mom. I'm glad you're not my dad. It sure would be nice to grow up with parents who would do anything to save my life. And sure, these are extreme circumstances, but remember, I'm the guy that said you only get to torture in the most rare of circumstances, whatever phrase I use. I've made it really clear that you don't torture because Gus thought he saw a woodchuck. You torture when you're absolutely sure the guy is guilty and time is a problem. Those were my two caveats. And so if your daughter's going to be murdered inside the hour and the guy's sitting there saying, I know where she is, neener, neener, I ain't telling. My boys are raping your 5-year-old right now, and when they're done, they're going to shoot her in the head. And you're going to stand there and say, well, torture's out of the question. We're not even going to consider that. I'd rather my daughter be raped and tortured and thrown into a hole in the earth Instead of me breaking my sacred vow against the idea of torture, that just makes no sense. And sure, you talk about an emotional response from a family member, but I just don't see how people can stand on a principle and let X and Y happen. I mean, sure, a lot of this goes back to, we talked about the doves right after 9/11, how it was my opinion that you take, I don't know about Gandhi, it's real hard for me to figure out what a 80-year-old Indian man did 60 years ago. But let's say Martin Luther King or John Lennon or Bono or Alan Alda or Mike Farrell or whoever you want to pick out, Susan Sarandon, I don't know, whoever you want to pick out is a dove. You try taking Tim Robbins' kid away from him and see if he doesn't kick your ass. You know he's going to do it. When 30 years ago, if John Lennon took one of his kids in a Central Park and someone came over and said, mind if I borrow your kid, and grabbed him and started walking off, you don't think John Lennon would pick up a piece of wood and beat the guy in the head to save his kid? You are nuts if you don't think that. Martin Luther King talked about nonviolence and all that. That is something to which we should aspire. That's something we should always consider. When we think, I've got to pick up a stick and beat that guy in the head, you just stop and think, is there another way to do it? Is there a way to avoid violence? Is there a way to avoid torture? If you can't come up with an answer to that, I think you must proceed. If that makes me a bad guy, if you must unsubscribe because I want to save my daughter and you want to stand on principle, well then yes, we fundamentally disagree. But we don't fundamentally disagree on the hundreds of other topics. It's amazing. Sometimes people will pick out a fraction and go ballistic, but it's my opinion. You grab one of mine, and I'm going to do everything I can. Yes, I'm going to break the law. If Mrs. Bart has a heart attack when I'm drinking, I'm going to jump. I'm going to put her in the car, and I'm going to drive drunk. You know what I mean? I'm going to do what it takes. In every case, if it's someone that I need to protect, I'm going to break any kind of law I can find, and hopefully, you know, I wouldn't run down a group of school kids in my way. I might let the kids go across the road before I run them over. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go crazy and murder everyone I can find. But if the circumstances warrant, and we talk about kidnapping a five-year-old or Osama blowing up New York, it's just boggling to me that people want to stand on this principle and let the 3,000 people die. And you can always come up, well, Bart, what if he just pretends he knows where your five-year-old is? Well, then that's his mistake. That's his fatal fucking mistake. When Osama said, this is the reports we got, I don't speak whatever language Osama speaks, but they said when the first tower blew up, Osama called his people into the room and they said, oh, Osama, you have had great victory. And he said, hold on, we got another one coming. Now, that's the translation we got from the crooked Bush CIA, but hey, I don't have a CIA, so sometimes we have to go with theirs. They said Osama claimed responsibility for 9/11. Some people say, oh, Bart, how can you be so stupid? How can you be so naive? Of course it was the Israelis. You know, I get a whole lot of that. If Osama's going to claim credit for 9/1, then that's his fatal mistake. And he's going to, I mentioned right, well, we won't go there. I'll lose so many. But in that regard, we say Saddam is, and as far as how do you know the 9/11 hijackers are guilty? Well, gee, is it so outrageously outlandish to think that maybe Richard Clark was tracking these guys? Maybe he had intercepted some, he saw a wire transfer for $2 million that seems suspicious going from some Saudi financier to some kid in Hamburg? Maybe they noticed that. Maybe they followed it. Maybe they had cameras when Muhammad Atta came to pick up his cash or however that works. You know, we've got satellites, we've got eavesdropping equipment, we tap phones, we read emails, we do all this stuff. What if they knew for a fact that they were going to kidnap the planes on 9/11 and blow them up? If they knew that for a fact and had a chance to stop it, what if they knew everything except which planes? Now, sure, they could stop every plane in America because someone thought that was the deal. Yeah, but if they know for a fact that it's that flight, whatever, 722 from Boston to L.A., if they know for a fact, if they know that that plane is going to be blown up, then they can arrest the Saudis that show up to get on that flight, if they know that for a fact. But if all they know is some plane's going to go, do you see the point? Muhammad's going to, he might hijack a plane in 2001 or 2002. Well, see, that doesn't do it. I would not torture in that instance. But when you know it's going to be tomorrow, when Richard Clark reads these complimentary, whatever, these return emails that say, Allah's will be done on Tuesday the 11th. When you hear that, when Richard Clark, who, let's say we trust him, when he reads those and says, Mr. President, we are certainly going to have a multiple hijacking that day. They're aiming for the World Trade. You know, at that point, the people who do not believe in torture, they escape me. All right, we can't spend all day on the first letter. It's time for letter number two. All right, Richard made some good points. I assume you'll address on the next radio show. You say, but if the FBI had caught one of the 19 hijackers on 9/11 and pressured, I'm sorry, 9/10, and pressured him for information, would you insist that the pressure be stopped and allow 9/11 to happen? On 9/10, some of the hijackers, on 9/11, some, ready? On 9/11, none of the hijackers were guilty of hijacking. That's true. They were only guilty of conspiracy and probably some immigration offenses. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you seem to advocate torturing people who may have committed minor offenses to discover possible major crimes. Well, no, that's not anywhere near what I'm talking about. You're talking about grabbing Jim McDougal and saying, oh, you forgot to sign this one loan paper, so that makes you guilty, so you got to tell us about Clinton's girlfriends. No, that's not what we're talking about. You say they catch the hijackers a day early and talk about minor crimes. If you prevent a major crime, I would rather prevent a crime than punish a guy for committing one, especially one this big. I don't see how you disagree with that. Since nobody but the terrorists knew 9/11 was planned, well, see, no, there you go, planning that caveat in there. Why would you do that? You're saying that statement tells me it's impossible for their plan to have been discovered. That's goofy. Exactly which questions would you ask them? Hey, boy, how long you been taking them flight lessons? No. If I bought letters the size of the Hollywood sign that says, only in the rarest of cases, I know the next letter would say, well, Bart, what about a four-year-old that stole some gum? Well, no. When I say should I be insulted that when I say only in the rarest of cases, people say, oh, please. And then you come up with the bubblegum analogy. I don't understand that. Is my word so useless and worthless that when I say only in the rarest of circumstances, why do you take those handful of words and throw them out the window and say, you have no argument? I'm talking about the rarest of circumstances. I'm talking about 9/11. I'm talking about when they kidnap your five-year-old. Granted, your five-year-old doesn't get kidnapped every day. This is not 24. The cougar doesn't kidnap Kim 15 times on a regular day. That doesn't happen to me and you. I'm talking about the rare circumstances. But somehow I seem to be, my words falling on deaf ears. Since you can't ask the correct questions without knowing the answers ahead of time, your super rare occasion argument dissolves. No, not if Richard Clark has been tracking do you know what the CIA is? Do you know what the National Security, I mean, there's 100, you know, there's CIA, there's CEA, there's SOD, there's RFP, there's, you know, 20 or 30 of these government agencies that all they do is travel in the shadows and read other people's mail and they snoop and they got 1,000 agents in every country and all that. Why do you think it's impossible for any of them to have picked up any information ever? That's just crazy. To close, John says, it would allow someone stopped for speeding or not wearing a seatbelt to be tortured for information. How do you make that leap? Don't you think any amount of authority can be abused? Bart, if you allow policemen to carry guns, they might shoot a guy who's innocent. Well, yeah, they might, but that's probably not going to happen on a regular basis. A police officer carrying a gun more often than not will outweigh him not carrying a gun. That shootout in Ohio where Dimebag Daryl got murdered, good thing the cop had a gun, don't you think? Because the guy was shooting person after person after person after person, and then the cop showed up and dropped the guy dead on the floor. I think that's a good thing. He saved the other people in the room from being murdered. So the idea that giving a cop a gun or giving the government the authority in the rarest of cases to extract information from a suspect, the key here, this is kind of like the military, the key here is not the law. The key here is the guy in charge. We both think that Bush enjoys torturing people. I can't really speak for you, but I think everybody agrees. My position on torture and Bush's are way, way different. I'm talking about the rarest of cases. Bush is eager to find, oh, can we use torture on this guy? Can we? Huh? That's what Bush looks like to me. Every goat herder they pulled out of Afghanistan has got a cattle prod up his ass. I don't agree with that at all. Maybe the government could level with us and explain who it was that kidnapped out of Afghanistan and brought to Gitmo. You know, did Chalabi give him a list of people? And now it turns out he's an Iranian agent who is out to get Saddam? See, that's what I'm talking about. You don't do that. If Chalabi says we need to torture this guy, that's not good enough. If we have proof, if Richard Clark, the head of whatever he was the head of, comes to the president and says, Mr. President, they are going to fly into New York skyscrapers tomorrow, but we can't tell which plane is going to do it. Do I have your permission to use the rarest of circumstances to get the information from the guy? And he says yes, and he puts it in writing, and they make it public or whatever they need to. Maybe they don't make it public, but they make both houses of Congress aware of it, that kind of thing, to where it's got to be on the record. You ought not to be able to do this shit in privacy the way they're doing now. But it kills me that I bring up this subject, and John, and I don't mean to pick on you, but the idea we're trying to talk about an important, relevant subject, some adults here with some serious conversation, and I get, what if you, so they're going to torture people for speeding or not wearing a seatbelt. I don't know how you people can make that leap. People either speak a different language or can't understand the words coming out of my mouth. But when I talk about super rare, that doesn't mean a seatbelt infraction. I think I'm doing real good holding my temper in check. Letter number three. Rachel's got some good questions here. It looks like our problem with your statements is that it shouldn't be arguable that any set of civilized laws make any excuse for torture. Wait, better try that again. It shouldn't be arguable that any set of civilized laws make any excuse for torture. I think that means torture is wrong. That is certainly my problem with Alberto Gonzalez looking for ways to legally finesse. Now see, my position is radically different from Alberto Gonzalez. His position is, screw the Geneva Conventions. Since we were attacked by people out of uniform, we get to torture any guy we want. Now that's not my position. It's just so confusing. How can you take what I say and say, well, you're Bush's twin? Not that this lady did. Her name is Jen. It's like I pick up a baseball bat and someone says, so you want to play football? And I'm going, why do you say that? I have a baseball bat and a glove in my hand, and I'm tossing a baseball up in the air, and you're asking me about football. I just don't understand how you can make the leap. You're using the same tactics you deplore in the opposing argument by using what Rachel calls categoricals. Certainly guilty. Well, that's a fact. We don't apply the death penalty to people who aren't using their seatbelt. We apply the death penalty often to serial murderers or multiple murderers, you know, with extra heinous torturing kind of crimes. We don't, as a rule, execute a man who caught his wife in bed with a fella and shot them both. We don't generally do that. So that's what she's calling a categorical. Well, yeah, the United States executes people, but not everybody for every crime. Nobody sees these shades of gray here. People see shoplifter equals torture. This is craziness. Somehow I got to break through this wall. What I was trying to say before is that legalizing brutal treatment of another human being for any reason is the road back to caveman times. Well, Jen, would you say that if it was your five-year-old? I don't think you would. Maybe I'm just crazy. I have to allow for that. But I think my position makes more sense. If they take my five-year-old, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Now, again, I'm not going to run down 20 first graders to get there of 2 or 3 seconds earlier. So I'm not going to actually do anything, like I said. But if a guy's sitting there laughing at me about how they're going to torture my five-year-old and rape her and kill her, yeah, he's going to have a damn bad afternoon. And I'll bet you the idea that, oh, what makes you think the information you'll get from this guy is reliable? Trust me. I will feel confident in the answers he gives me after a few moments. Okay, back to the caveman times. We have to understand that it is wrong. We know that it is wrong. So is murdering my little girl. Even if there arises an extraordinary set of circumstances to which some sort of greater good, my daughter surviving. Yeah, that's some sort of greater good, granted. So would putting an atomic bomb in downtown Los Angeles. Someone asked me about, oh, gee, Bart, how did you get to 30 million people? What'd you make that? If you put an atomic bomb in downtown L.A. or in Manhattan, wild guess, you blow up an atomic bomb in Manhattan on noon on Tuesday, you might lose 30 million people. Maybe you lose only 10, and it takes the other 20 million a year and a half to die from the radiation burns or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But the idea that atomic weapons can't kill 30 million people? I disagree. And Jen closes with, which many studies show it doesn't, by the way. In other words, many studies show that you can't get some greater good from torture. I just think that is the goofiest thing. You take away my chinaco and I'm going to talk. Most people are tougher than me. Anyway, Jen, I strongly disagree. It's hard for me to understand why everybody doesn't see it my way. And I don't mean that to be arrogant. I'm just saying it's very, very, very clear to me. And for someone else to say, oh, it's always wrong, I just don't know how you do that. When they're going to kill your kids or take 30 million lives in L.A. and New York, I'm confused. Okay, here's one from Mike. I'm sure Rachel can cover. I'm sure Rachel. Ready? Here's one from Mike. Here's one from Mike. Bart, I'm sure Rachel can answer for herself, but my take is that on 9/10, how did you know 9/11 was going to happen? Well, we're back to that Richard Clark thing. You have to acknowledge that there's a chance. I'm not saying that everybody knows everything all the time, but there's a chance that the United States undercover agents might be. Remember in 2000? Remember Bill Clinton, they say, foiled a plot. These bad guys were coming in from Canada, and they were going to blow up the L.A. airport, and they were going to blow up this and that. And they say, because of Clinton's diligence and keeping on it and reminding the FBI and the CIA, this is important, you need to work on this, let's beef up security, whatever they did at the borders, however that happened, they say Clinton foiled that plot. So I think from that we can deduce that plots can be foiled. So I realize a lot of people are answering the same letter or statement that I made, so there's going to be some repeats here. But to suggest that how could you possibly ever know anything that was going to happen? Well, Clinton did it, so we're kind of after the fact there. How can you possibly torture someone to prevent an incident that has yet to occur? Well, I don't think that's what you mean. How can you possibly torture someone? Well, you strap them to a chair and you get out a Bic lighter. If you already know what's going to occur, then why torture him, her? Well, if you know they're going to hijack a plane tomorrow, but you don't know which plane, what are there, 1,000 planes a day take off? Unless your contention is that you know it's going to happen, but are lacking some necessary details. Yes, that's my contention. In which case, you still might not get what you want by torturing anybody. Oh, sure, there's a chance if we know the guy is guilty. Yes, torturing him is not a guarantee, but are you saying that the odds of letting him alone or torturing him will get you the same answers? You can't say that. You can't for a second think doing nothing and taking action will probably yield the same results. You just can't do that. It does seem to be well established that torture is unreliable in ascertaining the truth. I disagree. I can't imagine that being true. I just can't imagine that at all. Anyway, it seems to me this is a classic case of where do you want to draw the line? Yes, I agree. That's exactly what this is. I'm not saying torture everybody in every case for every suspected crime, no matter how flimsy the evidence. So yes, there are lines to be drawn. If you decide to draw a line somewhere, then I don't see how you can fault somebody else for drawing the line somewhere else. Well, I think logical people can agree that you don't execute seatbelt wearers. I think we can agree on that. Matter of fact, I've often said that's the thing about politics is, let's say, I think a fellow ought to be able to drink at 18 and a Republican thinks they ought to be able to drink only at 21. And I point out that we got soldiers in Iraq dying for America that are 18 and 19. So why can't the son of a bitch buy a shot of whiskey if he's going to put his life on the line for his country? Why the hell can't he have a beer? He can die for his country, but he can't have a beer. Now, see, that's my position, 18. I think drinking and dying ought to be at the same level. You want to make dying 21? Fine. But drinking and dying ought to be at the same level. So, yes, drawing lines is what you call politics. If I think 18 is a fair age and you think 21 is, well, I guess me and you should argue our points before the voters and let them decide. It just seems better not to condone torture regardless. And nobody is really condoning. I'm allowing torture in the most extreme of circumstances. And he says, I'm not even going to threaten to unsubscribe because we disagree on that one, because we agree on most, but not all. Mike. Mike, thanks. That was nice of you. I appreciate you not unsubscribing because we possibly disagree on this subject. Okay, here we go. Oh, this is Matt in Wisconsin. This is the famous Matt from Tuesday, Vine 1485. Remember, I had to give Matt a bad time. He said I was ducking him because he was, oh, so good with debates, and I chopped up his email to make it, oh, what was the word he used? I chopped up his email to make it, I used my all too familiar tactics to chop up his email to fit my preconceived idiotology. He asked about X and Y, and I answered X on the page, and I'm answering Y now, and he accused me of ducking him and cutting up his mail. Here you go, Matt. This is your turn. Rachel has eloquently summarized the reasons your argument in favor of torture in some cases is flawed. Okay. Matt has an opinion. Okay. Acceptance of torture, or rather the condemnation of it in any form or reason, is similar to the concept of innocent until proven guilty. Oh, I don't think that's true, but let's go on. You must believe that a concept is an absolute. No, you don't. If it says no swimming and your baby falls in the river, you jump in the river, don't you? And sure, that's an old worn-out cliche, but how are you going to avoid the truth? It says no speeding. If your loved one is bleeding to death, are you still going to do 25 miles an hour on the way to the hospital? No, you're not. So the idea that there's absolutes, that is crazy. Where in the fuck do you get an absolute in any case at all? There are times when shooting someone else in the back is the right thing to do. Is it the right thing to do in 99% of the cases? No. But if the wrong person is getting ready to do the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong other person, and you've got a gun in your hand, and there's only one thing on the planet that can stop this horrid crime from taking place, and that's to take someone else's life, you do that. That's how shit works. That's what the cop did with the Dimebag Darrell thing. Is shooting a guy in a nightclub wrong? Yes. Is shooting a man in a nightclub wrong when he's murdering other people? No. So where's the absolute on shooting people in a nightclub? That is crazy talk. You must believe that a concept is an absolute, even if it means guilty people go free. That is stupid. Any other stance sends you down the proverbial slippery slope. I'm willing to take on the proverbial slippery slope to save my daughter or to save the 30 million people in New York and L.A. You know, the slippery slope is, it's a phrase that pops up when people say, well, X could lead to Y, and Y could lead to Z, and Z could lead to A, and A could lead to B, and B could lead to C, and it goes on forever. Well, hey, in some circumstances, you don't worry about 15 steps down the road. I don't want my kid murdered. I don't want L.A. and New York blown up. So that's that. Your one example, the torture of one of the 9/11 hijackers in the hope of preventing the crime, is equally flawed. Matt, I'm guessing you don't have any relatives in the World Trade Center, but let's read on. Even accepting that you may actually have captured one of them. Oh, even? What a wild scenario. Oh, my God. Bart, with his crazy theories, he actually captured a guy. That's impossible, but okay, but given the impossible, let's move forward. Remember now that we know that the identification of at least a few of these so-called hijackers is highly suspect. Doesn't matter. If we find out that they're going to hijack plane 722 from Boston to L.A., and we know the guys who are doing it because we tortured the guy and got the information, when they show up to board that flight and we put a gun on them, we put their hands behind their back, we cuff them, we search them, we find razor blades and box cutters on their person, and we find out whatever else, then it doesn't really matter what the bastard's name is. If we pull a guy from Saudi Arabia off the plane that the torture suspect says was about to be hijacked, and he gets on that plane with box cutters, he's in a lot of trouble. He needs a good attorney, because he sure looks guilty to me, and it doesn't matter what his name is. If we pulled the box cutter boy off the flight, and the flight proceeds and no one dies, that's a good thing. Call me crazy. Even accepting that you may actually have captured one of them, what would torture have accomplished? Well, it would have saved all those lives. I think you asked a dumb question there, Matt. What would torture have accomplished? If 9/11 hadn't taken place, there'd be a whole lot more people alive, including the 1,300 that Bush had killed in Iraq. What would torture have accomplished? Matt, that's a dumb question. These guys were ready to slam an airplane into a building. They were about to be serviced by a dozen virgins for all eternity. That's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Torture is never acceptable, Matt says. Once you find reasons for it, you've crossed over to the dark side. Well, Matt, I suggest that in this case, the dark side is with the living people. You're living on the light side with the dead people. I like, in this case, the dark side better. That doesn't make me right necessarily. I think it does. And I'm not sure it proves you wrong, but I think it does. Do you want to be right and dead, or do you want to be wrong and alive? Is maybe one way to boil it down. So, Matt, you didn't make such a good impression on me either email. Here's another one. Bart, you wrote in issue 1482, but if the FBI had caught one of the 19 hijackers on 9/11 and pressured him, in quotes, for information, would you insist that the pressure be stopped and allow 9/11 to happen? Actually, the FBI did have the 20th hijacker, hijacker Zacharias Moussaoui, and I knew that, and I wanted to put him in the argument, but I kept thinking Zakari and Moussaoui, and I, you know, who's got time to look at the guy's spelling? In custody in August 01, and they applied no pressure to him whatsoever. So yeah, bottom line, they had one of the hijackers, and they didn't torture him, so 9/11 happened. In my IQ of 64 mind, I think that proves my point. In my humble opinion, Americans need to drop the Jack Bauer 24, Jack Ryan, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, etc. fantasies. Ho-hum procedural police work and working on leads will be what prevents the next 9/11. America needs more Jack Webb, i.e. Joe Friday of Dragnet. Well, I'm not sure. I don't know what that means. If I had my choice between Jack Bauer or Jack Ryan or Joe Friday, I would go with Jack Bauer and Jack Ryan. Joe Friday, everybody's seen the old Dragnet shows. I don't know what Joe Friday would do with a Saudi Arabian hijacked suspect. The only nod I give to Judy Giuliani is the broken windows doctrine he developed early in his mayoral term. Okay, he's calling Rudy Judy. That wasn't my misspeaking. The only nod I give to Judy Giuliani is the broken windows doctrine he developed early in his mayoral term. Enforce laws on the books, even the ones most people would consider petty. Follow procedure, and you would then catch someone committing a more serious crime if you prevent them from committing a more serious crime. Don't know what that means. I've considered the what if you could torture somebody to prevent 9/11 question quite seriously for a long time. I now view this question to be a weak comeback, a hypothetical divorce from real experience. Has there been any cases where torture of alleged terrorists resulted in preventing a terrorist act? Well, I don't know. They don't run every instance by old Bart. I don't have a library that I can search and check. But again, on this Clinton deal, they prevented the 2000, the Millennium terror attack. It'd be my guess they did that without torture, but it does tell you that intelligence can prevent attacks. And so I guess the crux of the apostrophe there is it possible to gain anything from torture? If you say no, you being the listener, you are goofy. I'm not saying torture always works, but to say torture cannot work, that is a goofy thing to try to believe. Back to the letter. If there are, please let me know. Okay, if there are any cases where torture prevented, I don't know. But wait, someone earlier said, if we capture Osama, they're going to assume we're going to torture him, and he'll give us the information, so they'll change their plan. So the people who disagree with you, David, I'm just saying, you two guys need to get together and decide. The first fella said torture works, and so they'll just change their plans. Now you're saying torture doesn't work. I don't see how torture cannot work. I'm open to revise my views, but at this point, this is where I come down on the real world occurrences completely outweigh the what-ifs. Well, I don't see how that's possible. If you've got a guy in your custody who you know is guilty and you know something's going to happen tomorrow, you're saying that torturing him is useless, pointless, illegal, wrong, immoral, etc., etc. And I think the pain of a certainly guilty man does not outweigh the lives of my kid or the 30 million or the 3,000, whichever of the scenarios you want to go with. Where torture has been a commonplace police procedure, as a general rule, the government is not using it as a tool preventing future harm to the common good, but as a message of deterrence to the populace not to oh my gosh, what does that sentence mean? Off the top of my head, I think the Soviet gulags, the disappearance of Pinochet-era Chile, and the apartheid repression in South Africa. I'm not getting along with it. I don't understand a lot of these words. I mean, I get the words, they just don't seem to be grouped together in a way I can recognize. We humans need to recognize the visceral emotional appeal of torture. Revenge and sadism exists. It is there. We don't want to believe it, but like H.L. Mencken wrote about the unknowable, there it sits nonetheless, calmly licking its chops. I don't know that torture has a visceral emotional appeal. Torture is a tool. If you're going to turn a screwdriver, it's going to be hard to do with a hammer, but a screwdriver will turn the screw. So, to me, torture is a tool. I'll bet you don't even have to actually torture the guy. If you tie a guy to, you saw Reservoir Dogs, you tie a guy into a chair and pour gasoline on his head and stand 10, 15 feet away from him and light a match and say, I'm going to ask you a question, and every time you don't give me an answer I like, I'm going to take a step forward. So after about 13 questions, your ass is smoking. Now, the guy's probably going to start, tell me I wouldn't start talking. I'd be talking way, when I saw him pick up the gas can, you couldn't shut me up. So that's just an example. You probably don't have to torture the guy. The threat of torturing the guy will probably do it in most cases. That's why you put a gun to a woman's head, she lets you rape her. You put a gun to a man's head, he gives you his wallet. He gives you the cash register. He gives you the keys to his car. He does anything. The threat of doing something is often good enough that you don't have to do it. And again, I'm not in favor of any of this. I'm just saying that's why people give up their money or their selves when there's a gun on them, because there's the threat of torture, not even the torture. So, I don't know, to hear you people, a guy's got a bomb, it's going to go off in L.A., and it's wrong to even say we're going to torture you in 10 minutes? Would it even be wrong to say the words? I don't understand. So the FBI has waterboarded Massawi or sick dogs on him. Would they have gained any information beyond what effective interrogation or actually examining his computer files or wiretapping his phone could have accomplished? I say certainly. Certainly he's got information in his head that's not written down. No matter what, nobody's going to write down everything. There's going to be information in Massawi's head that he knows that's not in his files, that you can investigate and discover. So yes, would they have gained any information? Obviously, and of course they would have. At least that's my, I'm predicting the future. I say yes, certainly. Remember, almost all the inmates of Abu Ghraib were innocents caught in mass roundups. Well, yes, I would agree. It's impossible for an innocent man. If someone grabbed me on 9-10 and said, which plane are they going to hijack? I would say, I don't have a goddamn idea, because I wouldn't. And if they wanted to start torturing me, I'd say, hey, okay. Okay, where were we? All the inmates of Abu Ghraib were innocents caught in mass roundups. Yes, I do not support torturing the innocent. So many times critics of torture are painted as wusses. Well, let's look at that sentence for a minute. In the scenarios I'm talking about, those not unwilling of torture are willing to accept the death of their daughter or the 33,000 or the 30 million, which I certainly disagree with. I think the 30 million being alive and one guy with a finger cut off is a good trade. Call me crazy. People who oppose torture need to firmly rebut this slander. I don't know. I didn't call anyone a wuss. I'm saying I strongly disagree with the 30 million dead. That's not slander. That's me having a different opinion of the value of 30 million people living who were murdered. We who oppose torture recognize, well, we all oppose torture. Would you stop that? This is David B. again. We who oppose torture, we all oppose torture, except in the most extreme cases. So, this sentence, we who oppose torture recognize that its appeal is a wicked lust. Well, now, let's not. Sure. Are you asking, are there people on the planet who might enjoy inflicting torture? Of course. One of them is our president. But that doesn't mean we're going to let the 30 million people die because the principle is wrong. It is not righteous punishment. It is, by definition, torture. Inflicting suffering on another, evil. Really? I would bet that Webster does not say torture is evil. I'll bet Webster says torture is a thing you do when you're inflicting pain on another guy. I'll bet they don't pass judgment on it. We oppose torture not because we are namby-pamby, but because we forcefully reject it as sin. Oh, let's not go there. So, we would rather the 30 million people die to avoid the sin. Oh, I just don't want people like that to be president. Postscript. Best wishes for a drier shelter. Just listen to 14. Okay. But David, yes, we disagree on that. But it's my guess we only disagree because you misunderstand my position. Nobody is pro-torture here. Bart Dude, Scene 1, Act 1, Tuesday, June 16th. Oh, here we go. That's a good one. Bottom line, 2006. Bart Cobb's walked down the driveway to get the email. A black Chevy Suburban pulls over. The men in black grab Bart and force him into the Suburban and speeds away. 9 hours later, Bart Cop awakes to find himself trapped in a chair in a damp, dark room. A dim light is visible from under the steel door in the room he is in. Whack! Bart Cop receives a sharp blow to the back of his head from an unknown source. Then a voice says, "The President of the Corporate States of America has given us the authority to find the information we seek using any means because we've been deemed to be I've been deemed a terrorist. What are the plans?" And I say, "I don't know what the fuck's going on," so they hit me. And that's another painful blow to the body. This time it's a hammer crashing down on my foot. Damn, that hurts. I've had that happen. You know, I ran into a chair one time and broke my little toe. Damn, that hurt. Back to reality. Do you really think torture is permissible? Well, not in my case, because there's no proof that I'm involved in a hijacking tomorrow. Under what circumstances? Only, as I've said again and again, I'm a smurf, I'm blue in the face, if you're certain of the guilt, and in this case they cannot be since I am not involved in any terrorist hijackings, if you're certain of guilt, and time is a factor. We currently have laws in this country against the use of torture, and I, for one, do not wish to see them change for any reason. Did you really say that? This one is not signed. That's my fault, but he does not want anyone to be tortured for any reason. Dude, you just gave up New York, you just gave up L.A., and your daughter's body was never found. Because you wanted to stand on principle, I am shocked that you would accept those losses to stand there and say, I am proudly anti-torture, and you got L.A. and New York are gone, and is your daughter. I am shocked. I've often thought about the use of torture for rapists, but damn it, there are too many innocent people convicted of crimes they did not commit. I don't think I should condone torture of an innocent. Nobody does. Nobody here does, anyway. Maybe George Bush is into that, but my position and Bush's position are different. Remember the Hollywood sign. And Koresh knows there's always a bit of doubt in any trial. Well, sure, except if Richard Clark stakes his reputation on the fact, on the certain fact that this guy is part of the ring. He does know something. We saw him hand the briefcase to the other guy that had the plans and the money in it, but the guy somehow slipped away in traffic. But we know for a fact that this guy prepared the briefcase, put the money in it, put the plans in it, drew up the plans maybe. Maybe he drew up the plans. They saw the plans on his computer, and on the computer they had everything but which planes, because they only transferred that information verbally to prevent something like this, so we're going to have to torture the guy to figure out which planes. I just see that to be the only way out. Okay, and this is something I wrote. Does anybody remember the very first Dirty Harry movie? And I'm not saying Dirty Harry should be our beacon of justice. That's not where I'm going, so I'm cutting you off before you go there. In the first Dirty Harry movie, a girl is kidnapped and buried underground with enough air to last a few hours, but no more. Dirty Harry knew for a fact that that Andy Robinson guy, and remember, he knows this for a fact, and that's a caveat some of you people love to ignore, that Andy Robinson was guilty. So Harry, I think, legitimately shot him. He shot him on a baseball field. He shot him from like 100 yards away. Because he was fleeing or whatever. For some reason, he shot the guy. Let's say for a moment the shoot was good. Let's get past that. Okay, while the guy was laying there in the middle of center field, Harry walked up and said, where's the girl? And he said, go to hell, I'm going to let her die. And Harry stepped on his leg until the pain caused the man to say, okay, I'll tell you where the girl's buried. He gave Dirty Harry the information. They went and dug up the girl. She was already dead, but that doesn't matter. The idea that there's a girl who doesn't have enough air, and the certainly guilty guy is giggling, saying, the bitch is going to die, I don't care, ha-ha, you can't torture me because that's the law. Well, Harry stood on the guy's leg, got the information, tried to save the girl. If it was your daughter buried alive with an hour's worth of air, would you want to hold on to your liberal ideas and let her die, or would you want Harry to do the right thing? Now, I don't know, how do you get around that? How do you say, no, let my daughter die? And, you know, just to be spiteful, I assume someone else is going to write and say, I don't care if they murder my wife, my grandparents, my children, my uncles and aunts and my cousins and everyone I ever met and my boss and my neighbors. I don't condone torture. I expect to get one of those letters from somebody. But you don't mean that. If you mean that, I'm so glad you're not my parents.
He may be a rube from Knuckle Drag, Oklahoma, but he's armed with his tequila and the truth to give the red ass to any ditto monkey out there. It's Bart Cop Radio.